Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
1 John chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. I just want to begin by reading our text again this morning, if you would. 1 John chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for this day and this time. We thank you and praise you so much for blessings, Lord Father, being able to set aside this morning, Lord, just to come and to learn of you, to study, to grow together, Lord, and to encourage one another as a family, Lord, in our walks with you. Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all that you do, Lord, and I thank you for those who are here. I want to pray for those who are able to join us this morning for whatever cause. Lord, I pray you'd watch over them. And Lord, may you continue to receive, Lord Father, just the praises of your people, Lord. Lord, in particular right now, I want to pray if there's something heavy upon our heart, something distracting us, Lord Father, from just giving this time to you, you remove those things from our minds, Lord Father, and our hearts, Lord, that we may be given wholly to your word now. Lord, I want to pray in particular that you'd remove your servant and allow your spirit to teach us your perfect word, Lord, that we may grow and be conformed in the image of your son, Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Savior, Lord God Almighty, in whose name we now pray. Amen. Have you ever thought about some of the simple pleasures, if I can put it to you that way, that we enjoy in life? In particular, I want to talk about the simple pleasures that we enjoy and how often they are related to shining in the darkness. Or if you would, I would say it to you this way, light penetrating darkness. So let's just look at some examples this morning. We can start with Christmas lights. I mean, is there anybody here who honestly does not enjoy a good Christmas lights display? I don't know about you guys, but we actually, the family, have always just in Christmas time loved to drive around town and see different Christmas lights and things of that nature. Now, I won't lie. When I was a kid, I thought there was a lot more, maybe, I don't know, than there is nowadays. But I know as a kid, I really enjoyed doing that, and I still enjoy doing that. And oftentimes stopping and just staring for a long time. Some of those people go all out, right? And it's just awesome that they're willing to put that kind of work in. Or how about this one, for example, a candlelight dinner. I mean, doesn't that just kind of just warm your heart when you think about having a candlelight dinner? Even if it's not necessarily like you because you're dating somebody or something, just getting together with family sometimes around a candlelit table. Sometimes just warms your heart and how much you enjoy it. Or of course, there's always fireworks. Right? I mean, who doesn't love things that explode? And if they explode and make a beautiful light in the sky, it's even better. All right? We all love fireworks. How about a lighthouse? Have you ever seen a lighthouse at night? And it's mesmerizing. If you're ever on the coast, and hopefully if you haven't yet, then hopefully get the opportunity to be there at some point. But you just get to look out and see, even as from the shore, and you see the light going around. There's something just calming about it, isn't there? And, of course, there's one of my favorites, a campfire. I mean, we like to burn things, and it's the one place we get to burn them, right? So, unless you're a little kid, don't play in the fire, okay? Don't even make the fire sticks because you're going to burn somebody, all right? All right, there's my insurance adjuster coming out now. I say burn the stick, burn people, what the heck, they got to learn, all right? I'm just teasing, of course. But why is it that so much joy surrounds light? It's because we recognize that light has always been a source of comfort. It always has been. And it brings, if I can put it to you, not only comfort, but joy to a worried heart. I don't know if you've ever experienced being lost in the dark before. But when you see light that you can go to, it really doesn't matter what that light is. You're going that way, isn't it? I mean, you might get there and find out that it was, you know, not a good light, but nonetheless, it was light, and it brought hope to you. All right, this is what I want to talk about this morning with us, if you would. Our text starts out this morning. I want to begin in verse 4 there, 1 John chapter 1. It says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full." So remember, not only what we looked at last week, but what we're going to look at from this point forward in this entirety of the book, the entirety of this epistle has been written that our joy might be full. I love that thought. I've got to pause here for 1 second because, like I mentioned last week, I don't think there's one of us who would raise our hand and say, I don't want to be joyous. I don't like joy. I'd rather be grumpy and grouchy and miserable my whole life. I don't want joy. You know? Now, there's sometimes, let's be honest, there's sometimes when our hearts are wicked, and we know they're wicked, and we enjoy that anger. Right? It's like, ooh, just make my flesh feel good. But I can tell you, having been a man of anger, and not saying that I don't get angry sometimes still, but having been a man who was led by anger for a large part of my life, anger about society, anger about the world, anger about all the things that I thought I was wronged in, now having known the joy of the Lord, I would choose joy every day. Every day over anger. So, from this point forward, we're going to look for the joy. The joy. Then in verse 5, we read these words, and this is where the joy begins this morning, brothers and sisters. It says, this then is the message which you have heard of him, and declare unto you, excuse me, which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Whoo, I love that thought. It says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This is one of those concepts that I wish we could all just grasp a hold of, that God is no darkness at all. There's nothing dark about God. It's all light. If I could say it this way, that God is not evil in any way, shape, or form. God is not evil, and he never has been and never will be. And doesn't matter what he chooses to do, he's doing it in righteousness, not in evil. Which is why he is so full of mercy. Because when someone offends us, our automatic inhibition, our automatic response is what? That we should strike back. I'm offended, I should strike back. When God was offended at the whole world, what did he do? He came and died for us on a cross. He didn't strike back. He came and rescued us. This is awesome. Guys, I don't know if you're catching on to what I'm trying to tell you. In him is no darkness. It's all light. It's all good. There's no evil. How thankful are we that our God is a merciful God and that he is a righteous God and does not act the way we do. And why does he not? Because there is no darkness in him. If I can put it this way, it means that every decision he makes, whether we think so or not, is righteous. See, this is a beautiful thought. When you stop to think about the fact that God is complete light and no darkness, and that everything God does is right, there's a lot of comfort in that. I know there's a lot of comfort in there for me. Because if you were to ask me, even at this point in my walk with Jesus Christ, whether or not I deserve to go to heaven, my answer would have to be a resounding no. But God is right. And he's righteous. And he looks upon my heart, even though I see my heart and I get deceived by it. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? That our heart is deceitful, right? Who can know it? God knows it. And he knows, honestly, Lord, I'm trying. It's funny, I spent time at my office this morning, and one of my confessions to the Lord, I say, Lord, I'm sorry if I've made this in any way, shape, or form about me. It's not about me. It's about you. Heck, I have that written on my truck. You think I should read it every once in a while? God, throughout history, has been accused, though, of doing some pretty evil things, hasn't he? I mean, I spoke a little bit last Sunday evening about this, and if you were here, please bear with me as I make this point again. One of the arguments the world, and I've heard the world make several times over, is about how God is evil, if I can put it to you this way. Now, they'll never say it directly that way, but they'll say things like, I can't believe in a God who would destroy a people. Because the Bible says there are nations that God called for to be destroyed, right? I can't believe in a God who would dare judge people. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, for an example. I can't believe in a God like that. Well, the beauty of it is God exists whether you believe in him or not. It doesn't really matter. But what I find interesting about that is, first of all, we have to remember that God never destroyed anything but wickedness. Right? He destroyed nothing but wickedness. Now, the problem is, and the problem comes when I'm not willing to call things wicked that are wicked. When I'm willing to call, if I can put it to you this way, if I'm willing to be one of those people so foolish as to say what? That the darkness is good. See, that's when we start having problems, isn't it? That's when we start running into issues with God and his decisions for righteousness, because we start going, well, that's not fair. That's not right. Well, you know what? Okay, hate to burst everybody's bubble in here. First of all, life isn't fair, right? But God is righteous, and he's right in all his judgments. And I say that because here's the point. What kind of fairness did our Lord receive at the hands of his creation when he came? And you want better than God? Isn't that kind of what your argument is? I deserve better than God? Because God came here and God got killed by his own creation. And not just killed like, you know, they just put him to death like, you know, with a needle. No. He went through a torture and then death. And you want fairness? Why don't we start by giving God fairness instead of asking for it for yourself? But let's just remember, as we look at some examples of Scripture, was God always a merciful and always a righteous God? Or was he really, honestly, an evil God at one point? Well, we know that God never changes, so we know that he wasn't evil, because it says he is all light. But turn to me to Genesis chapter 18, if you would. Genesis chapter 18. Let's just look at the story of Sodom and Gomorrah real quick. And I'll be honest with you, you want to turn in your Bibles. We're going to read a lot of this text. I don't put the entirety of the text up here, even if you can read that. I want you to turn in your Bibles. I want you to see this for yourself, if you would. Genesis chapter 18. And when we get there, let's just pick it up at verse 22. We're going to read all the way through verse 33, but I want you to see here the heart of our Lord, if I can put it to you this way. Genesis chapter 22, picking up at verse 22. Genesis 18, verse 22 says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew nigh near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Yet be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that with the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." And Abraham answered and said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." And he spake unto him yet again and said, "Peradventure, there shall be 40 found there." And he said, "I will not do it for 40's sake." And he said unto him, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak peradventure if there shall be 30 be found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 20's sake." And he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went his way. And as soon as he had left communing with Abram, and Abram returned unto his place. Pause here for a second. So you see what basically happened here. We all know the story to a certain extent of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord says, "Hey, I'm going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." And Abram, and now I want you to understand, he wasn't changing God's mind. God knew what he was going to do, didn't he? Okay? He wasn't caught off guard and he wasn't surprised. But Abram says, "Well, what if there's 50 righteous people, Lord? Are you going to destroy the whole city for 50 righteous people?" Now, I want you to notice the mercy of the Lord here. The Lord says, "If I find 50 people, I won't destroy it at all." And he goes all the way down. He negotiates down. Finally, he gets down to 10. "Lord, if there's 10 righteous people, will you destroy it? 10 righteous people in the entire city. And by the way, I want to explain to you a concept here that you may not be familiar with. They have found where Sodom and Gomorrah were. Now, understand, Sodom and Gomorrah were in the why it's called the city of the plains. When you read it in the Bible, it's because there's 5 cities here. Okay, it's an area, it's a region more in particular than it is necessarily an individual city. All right? But in those 5 cities, or in that region of Sodom, if I can put it to you that way, they estimate that the size by population of that area at this time was about what we are used to for the city of New York City. All right? So he says, he negotiates down, he says, listen, and I'm going to put it to you this way, so I hope you kind of get the concept here. Lord, what if we find 10 righteous people in all of New York City? Then what will you do? And he says, I'll spare the whole city. That's a merciful God. But by the way, did he find 10? No. How many did he find? 1. See, his wife and his daughters reaped the benefit of Lot's righteousness. But the only one that was found righteous was Lot. All right? Try that one again. The only one that was found righteous was Lot. And did the Lord destroy Lot? No. See, he even took the righteous out so he could do the wickedness, or the quote-unquote wickedness, if I could put it to you that way. To do the righteous judgment, he took the righteous out. See, and do you guys understand that as long as we're here, brothers and sisters, this world will never be destroyed? Now, that should make us not get so nervous about who gets elected. All right? Because this world is going to continue as long as we, the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, resides here. Because until the Lord removes the righteous, he can't judge. Does that make sense? So we should have confidence in that. We should be like, yes, thank you, Lord. As long as I'm here, I know there's hope for that person who I'm worried about. But once we're removed, wow. Wow. See, the Lord is righteous in his judgments, but the problem is that the world wants to look at the wickedness and say, well, he judged them unrighteously. He was wicked in his judgments. Which is a really funny thought to me, because here's the thought that when I read and think about the world's ideas of wicked and righteousness, there's a thought that kind of comes to me, and it's simply this one, if I can put it this way. They love to assume that God is not right in his judgments, yet they feel they're right in theirs. Let me give you an example. You ready for this one? They feel they are perfect in their judgments, yet they still allow abortion. The most defenseless of all people, they feel like they're righteous in their judgments as to whether or not that person should be able to live based off of whatever circumstances, quote unquote, they may have come from. See, we don't want to look at righteousness that way, do we? The world doesn't want to look at the righteousness that way. Well, it wasn't fair. That lady didn't ask, and I'm not trying to be rude here. That lady didn't ask to be sexually assaulted. Nope. Nor did that baby ask to be birthed. But you, in your righteous judgment, get to look at that life and go, it's not worth it. See, they want to, if I put it this way, they want to act like God, don't they? And they don't want to go, and here's the problem, I can't even say about my own self that I'm all light. But God is perfect, he's light, there's no darkness in him at all. He knows. I'll be honest with you, I honestly believe that one of the mercies of the Lord is to take people out. If for no other reason, how about this? Well, let's just pick one of those popular names we like to talk about, Hitler. How glad are we that God took Hitler out? What would have happened to more and more people? And by the way, myself included, you know one of the things that was not okay in Hitler's eyes, aside from the fact that you don't have blonde hair and blue eyes? So if you don't have blonde hair and blue eyes, you're dead. Right? I'm handicapped. I would have been killed. I mean, we sit there and we go, well, it's just the Jews who got punished. No, it wasn't. By the way, the communists got punished too. Did you know that? A lot of the internment camps that they had in Germany under Hitler were killing communists, or if I put it, political opposers. We would have been killed for the fact that we were a capitalist nation. I know capitalism's bad. I read the news. I mean, but honestly, guys, and this is the problem, is the world wants to say, we're right in our judgments, but when God judges, is God still light? Well, here's the point. God has infinite understanding. We have finite understanding. I can only tell you what I know or see or read or whatever the case may be, right? God is beyond that. He knows the outcome. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what it's going to look like. So he's right in his judgments, whether you think he is or not. All right. Our God, and they would dare stand in judgment, not even having a smidgen of the knowledge of God, not even a tiny part of the knowledge of God, and they would dare stand in judgment of the God of the universe who is light, the God of mercy, the God who is ever loving, and the God who is kind. There's no darkness with God. And the arrogance, and I'm going to be honest with you, the arrogance of some to say so reveals the foolishness of men who would only dare to accuse God of being unrighteous or evil, if I can put it to you that way, not being light, because they want to justify their own wickedness. That's the only reason why. And I know as we sit here this morning as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I trust that you are sitting here this morning as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not, get that settled, because you have no idea when we're going to leave. All right? But we are going to leave. And you don't want to be here when we're gone. That being said, we sit here as believers and we go, but I would never dare accuse God of doing evil. Would I? I mean, have you ever accused God of doing evil? Now, we may not want to put it in that terminology, but turn over to James chapter 1 with me. James chapter 1. And let's read verses 13 through 17. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. And I find it interesting, one of the arguments that sometimes people will use is, well, if God didn't want us to do it, he wouldn't have given it to us. That's one of the arguments we use about drugs, marijuana, things like that, right? Well, God gave us the plant. He must want us to use it. Interesting. That's a very interesting position. God also gave us hands. He must want us to kill each other. I mean, isn't that kind of the same logic? That everything that God gives must be used the way we want to use it. But we read in James chapter 1, pick it up at verse 13 with me, if you would. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. Listen to those words one more time for me. Neither tempteth he any man, and if I can put it to you this way, with evil. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Listen to that, what the Lord says. Hey, you're not enticed. You're not enticed by God. God's not tempting you. Don't say God tempted me. I went into a coffee shop yesterday morning. There were macaroons there. I love macaroons. I've been trying to watch my weight. It's much easier to see when it's out here. Okay? But I've been trying to watch my weight a little bit. There was macaroons there. Because I'm a nice guy. There were three other people in the car, and I knew they needed macaroons, and they wouldn't feel right eating macaroons without me having a macaroon. See, God didn't tempt me with those macaroons, did he? It was my own lust, my own desires that said, I want a macaroon. By the way, you'd be proud of me. I've had an extra macaroon sitting in my car for almost a day now. No guarantee that it's going to last much longer, but nonetheless, all right? Point being is that God didn't entice me with those. They were there, but I had the decision I had to make, right? And here's the crazy part about it. It wasn't like they were even free. I not only had to decide, okay, I'm going to give in to that temptation because I'm lusting after those things, if I can put it to you that way. Not only did I have to say that, I'm lusting after those macaroons, so I'm going to give in to that temptation, but now I had to pull out my wallet and pay for my temptation. You tell me who's the idiot in this equation. I mean, seriously. But it says there, God didn't tempt me. I was drawn away by my own lust. Now I use a silly example of a cookie, right? But what about the other sin issues you have in your life? The things that you keep looking at that you know you shouldn't look at? The things you keep reading that you know you shouldn't read? The things that you keep doing that you know you shouldn't do? What about those ones? Who's drawing you away? The Lord? The Lord tempted me with that. No, he did not. You were drawn away by your own. And how do we know that? Because of what he says there. He says, do not err, my brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Oh, maybe I was supposed to have macaroon. Anyway. And cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. See, what that actually says there at the end there says, there's not even a shadow, not even a hint of evil in God. He is light. As such, we understand where the issues come from. They come from our own lust. But let's remember that we are not about light. Remember what we know about light versus darkness, don't we? So if I put it to you this way, if it's a good thing for you, there's no darkness in it. Ooh. See, now, we're going to talk. I'm going to be honest with you guys. We're not going to go all the way through verse 7 today, okay? We're going to spend a little more time talking about that concept next week, all right? But let me put it to you this way. If you've ever used these words, it's not that bad. Let me translate that for you. It's not all light. It's part dark. And if you say it's part dark and then still dare to argue that it's a good thing, you are fooling yourself. Now, I understand, guys, this is a struggle we all have. Don't think I'm standing up here pointing fingers at you like, you all got to get this right. I'm perfect. I understand that, okay? But here's the point, is when we start to make those little compromises for darkness. And by the way, we have to compromise for darkness. You guys realize that, right? Because light overcomes darkness. I've used that example 1,000 times for you guys. If I stood up here with a box, I should have brought one this morning. I didn't even think about doing an illustration like this for you. But if I stood up here with a box this morning, okay, and I had the lid on, you could assume that it was dark on the inside, right? And if I opened that box, the lights would go out? No. The light would overtake the darkness. See, for us to give in to darkness, we have to let it in. Do you understand that? We have to make it darker. Now, I could pick on some hot topics and issues. You guys heard me use the example of I've never actually been to a well-lit bar. I haven't been to a bar in 20-something years, so just know that one as well, okay? And actually, well, that's not true. I can't lie. I did go to the press box for a steak sandwich with my dad while he was still alive. Hated every minute of it. Not because of the steak sandwich. I like steak. All right? But I hated the feeling of that. And you know what? I've never been to a well-lit bar. Even with their big TVs and everything like that, you ever notice they kind of keep it dim? Right? But how about this? When was the last time you watched a horror film that had a bunch of light in it? When was the last time you played a dark video game or something like that that was well lit? You weren't playing in the dark. You know what I'm saying? Not all video games. I mean, you guys know what I'm saying here. But when there's darkness in it, you can start to ask yourself, why do they make this dark? Well, I'll tell you why. Because darkness brings about fear. It doesn't bring comfort. It doesn't bring joy. It brings fear. And we know that perfect love, who is God, casts out all fear. So now for me to put in the darkness in, I have to go, well, God, I want you out so that I can have the darkness in for a minute here. Because I want to be afraid. Guys, I like jump scares as much as the next time. I went to Lagoon and went on the Cannibal this last year with the kids. I mean, wow. The whole time they're taking you up that elevator chute that leads to heaven. All right? The whole time there's music, boom, 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 boom. And it'll be okay if they got you to the top and just let you go, but they don't. They take you out and let you look for a minute. I'm going to die. I understand that, okay? I get that concept. It's excitement. All right? I'm not saying the Cannibal is dark, even though the name sounds really bad. But, all right? But I'm not saying that. What I'm telling you is this, okay? Is that we've got to be careful if we're letting that darkness in and removing God so we can enjoy the darkness. Does that make sense? Because God is perfect light. He is nothing but light. So where God is, guess there where there isn't. Or what's not there? Darkness. Darkness. All right. Well, turn back to our text now with me if you would. Actually, no, I'm lying to you. Don't turn back to our text. Go back to the Gospel of John with me real quick. Gospel of John. it's a good thing, right? If it's good for us, there's no darkness at all. And by the way, this is how he started. By the way, did you know one? If you read, go back to Genesis chapter 1, I'm not going to have you turn there. I'm just saying, if you read, go back to Genesis chapter 1 and you were to read, the first thing God did was he separated light from the darkness. And you know what he said? It is good. He separated the light from the darkness. He said, light is good. Darkness, I'm separating these things. It's good. It should be that way. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, you're familiar with this text. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I love that idea. The light shone in the darkness comprehended it not. Darkness cannot understand light. Do you realize that? Don't get upset at the world when they don't understand us. You know why they don't understand us? Because they're in darkness. Darkness can't understand light. Until they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they can't figure it out. They can't understand what this is all about. They can't know what true joy is, by the way. They can't know what true love is. They can't know any of those things until they know Jesus Christ. And here's the reason why, because darkness cannot comprehend light. They don't get it. And they can't get it. Don't get upset with them. But do get upset with yourself when you start to go, what? Well, I don't understand why God would do that. I don't have to understand why God would choose to do what God's going to choose to do. That's not my job. My job is to know that God's choosing right. Does that make sense? I don't have to understand it. And I'll be honest with you, there's some things I don't want to understand. There's some things that I can't wrap my finite mind around and begin to make human sense of. Because I'm not God. And he says there that darkness cannot understand the light, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I'm going to give you a quick illustration. I got a little bit of time here. I'm going to give you a quick illustration of what I mean by this, all right? Is my parents, my dad and my stepmom, I love them dearly. I mean, they've both gone on to be with the Lord. At least I'm praying they're both on with the Lord at this point. But when this story happened in my life, I'd have to say that if I had to guess, I would say they were not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened was, is many of you have been out to our home before. Now, our home used to be located over here where like Ross is and, it was Staples. It's no longer there. Bed Bath & Beyond, the new Petco, all that stuff, right? And on Hurley Drive there, that's where our house was. We moved it, or it got moved. I didn't move it. I'm not that strong, okay? I'm strong, but not that strong, okay? I moved the garage. No, I'm joking. Okay, all right, but the point is that we had to move from there out to our place. Now, we were in the midst of already, we had our financing lined up for our new home that we were going to have built on our land and things of this nature. And one of the things I had in the previous employment that I had, I worked for a housing authority. And when they were getting ready to do all that development, the guys who bought all the houses there, basically, the part of the development team that bought all the houses there, came and approached us at the housing authority and said, hey, would you be willing to buy all these homes? Now, honestly, it was a great deal, okay? We were getting each house for like around $4,000, okay? And it cost about $8,000 to move a home, depending on the size, okay? So in other words, about $12,000, you were getting a home. All we had to do is basically put it back on a foundation, hook up the electric, all that fun stuff, all right? Really good deals. Long story short, it ended up falling through, okay? But the whole time, from day one, and you can ask John, from the first day they approached me, I went down and I met with them. Actually, their offices during the development were located in the basement of this little brick house over here next to Jamba Juice. I went down to the basement there and I met with them. And they went out and said, well, come look at the houses with us. So I went out and I looked at the houses. And I called Chandra. She was, I had to work late that night. I called Chandra. She met me for dinner at Schlotsky's Deli. And then after Schlotsky's Deli, I said, you know, I got to go show you something. So I called these guys back up and I said, can I go look at that one house again? And they're like, sure, why? And I'm like, I just got to show it to my wife. We're right in the middle of actually building, getting ready to build our home. But when I walked into that house, I was like, this is what we want. And they're like, well, we cannot put that on the deal if you get this deal done. And we'll give that one to you. I said, no, I can't do that. But I'd like to show it to my wife, if you don't mind. Sure. So they met me over there. Chandra walked in, same feeling. This is it. This is the home we wanted. And they said to my wife, well, we already told your husband that if he can help us get this deal done, we'll keep that one off of there, and that one we'll give to you guys. Chandra's like, we can't do that. See, I had a responsibility to my employer, didn't I? That's why I was there. So later on, we're talking to my family about it. Every one of them, why didn't you take the deal? because it wasn't right. Because God's not going to bless that for me. And we did a silly thing, because we're silly people. We prayed. And we're like, Lord, if you'd like us to have that house, you'll figure it out. But in a way that I don't have to violate you, you'll figure it out, Lord. We actually went and stood over, parked over the hill there. They'd already started tearing some of the stuff down, parked over the hill, the construction, and prayed over the house. Like, Lord, if this is your will for us. But if not, we'll accept whatever you have for us. So then as I'm working on the deal, I had the deal all set up that we were going to buy. The housing authority was going to buy all the houses. We were going to buy, I mean, there were 17 houses there. We were going to buy all the houses. We were moving them all out, stuff like this. Developers made a mistake, basically offended the people who were offended the housing authority of the tribes, and they decided that they're backing out of the deal. And I'm trying to save it. I'd taken a day off because I'd spent like over 80 hours in 1 week just working on this deal because we're trying to get done quickly. And then I called up Shauna and we took a day off. We were going to go up with Idle Falls to play around, go to a movie, stuff like that. And while we're in Idle Falls, all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up and it's everybody telling me how we're not doing the deal anymore. And these guys are like, oh, we heard the deal's not happening anymore. Why is the deal not happening anymore? Blah, 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 stuff like this. You know, and the house that we wanted, by the way, the tribes had decided they were going to keep and make an office for a program out there. And so all these things like this going on, all of a sudden everything's falling apart. And by the end of the day, the whole deal was done. I said, listen, I'm back in the office tomorrow. I'll come in. I'll meet with you guys talking about the tribes. And I went in and met with them. They told me the story. They told me why they didn't want to do the deal anymore. I said, I understand. I said, do you mind if I work on helping individuals buy these homes if they were interested in them? They're like, no, that's fine. I said, would it be okay if I'm one of those individuals? Yeah, that's fine. Would it be okay if I'm the individual who's going to buy that home? And I told them what I wanted. They're like, if you want to buy that house, you can buy that house, and we'll give you the permission to move it out here. So we got our home. Well, actually, that's not true. Because we're kind of scaredy cats, we prayed again. Silly. And we put a fleece before the Lord. And we're like, Lord, it's going to sound silly to you guys, but we're like, Lord, we had an outside cat at this point, and this outside cat ate her food every night, all the way empty, every night, right? And if she didn't eat it, the scums came in, they ate it, okay? And so we put a bowl of food out there, and we prayed, Lord, if that bowl of food is full in the morning, or partly full, actually, we didn't even say full. We just said, Lord, if there's still food in that bowl in the morning, then we'll go ahead with the deal. Woke up the next morning, I thought our cat had died. And the dogs kept the skunks away for the whole night or something. I don't know. Magpies weren't even around. It was completely full. But because we're humans, I'm like, okay, Lord, tonight, I want it empty. And the next morning, I woke up, and you would have thought that bowl went through a dishwasher. It was perfectly clean. Now, I tell you all that because the world can't understand light. Those people could not understand. And it was funny because I wanted to say to those guys who were so tempting me with evil, notice I said they're tempting me, right? Okay, it wasn't my lust. Okay, but they were tempting me. Or I got tempted by them by saying, hey, we'll just take this off the plate. It's yours. And that was a temptation. I'm not going to lie, it wasn't. But they didn't understand when I'm like, I can't do that. And I kept explaining to them, I can't do that. God would not honor me in that. The Lord Jesus Christ would not be honored in that if I did that. And they're like, and you could tell by when I say those things, and they're just looking at me like, what is the matter with you? We're giving you a house, the house you want. What is the matter with you? Nothing's the matter with me. I've got a big God. And I got to honor him. And the Lord honored me for honoring him. And now I say that because the world can't get darkness. But so often, brothers and sisters, and I don't mean to go on a tirade about this for a second here, but I'm going to. The world doesn't get darkness, but sometimes we don't get light. Sometimes we would rather stay in that darkness and think like the world, if I can put it to you that way, and act like, oh, it's an okay thing. The world says it's okay. It must be okay. I know churches now in Oregon that they literally have a smoking area for their marijuana users. Why? Well, the world said it's okay. It's not that bad. Okay. What if the world, like, for example, in Islam, it's okay to rape people, isn't it? What if the world says that's okay? Are we going to set an area up in the church for that? I mean, seriously, where are you going to go with the darkness? How much darkness are you going to allow in here? And I'm telling you this because, brothers and sisters, I wish we as believers would start to separate ourselves, because you realize we're the only light the world has. We're the only light the world has. That's why the Lord left us here, by the way. So that the light could shine forth. Does that make sense? We talked about that a little bit last week when we said we're going to show forth and declare the righteousness of God. Goes on from that, says, and it says, light can't comprehend it. And you're still in John, so just jump down to chapter 3, verse 19 through 21 with me, if you would. Listen to what he has to say there. In John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. It says, and this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. I'm going to put it to us this way. I'm going to ask you guys a question. It says, men love darkness. Why they love darkness? Because their deeds were evil. They didn't want to come to the light because their deeds were evil. So let me ask yourself, excuse me, this morning, brothers and sisters, where do you find your joy? Do you find it in the light or do you find it in the dark? If I gave you the opportunity to do something right and good, or the opportunity to do something evil, which one would you choose? And I'm not going to give you the examples of what those things may look like. You know what they are in your own heart. But if I gave you the choice between let's watch a godly edifying movie that's going to encourage me on a walk with the Lord, or let's watch this one that's not that bad. Which one are you going to choose? I mean, honestly, this is the question we have to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, because it says there that we should be what? We should want to be in the light, that our deeds may be wrought, that they were manifest in God. In other words, that we can prove that we have Jesus Christ residing in us. I love a good action, shoot 'em up, bang 'em up film as much as the next guy. Gets our testosterone going, yeah, oh, I could do that too. Give me a gun and make me look like Rambo. All right? I'd be tough too. I mean, I love it just as much as the next guy, and I find enjoyment in that as much as well. But let me ask you something. Do you find so much enjoyment in it that you would forsake fellowship with God's people for the darkness? Would you forsake the word of God for it? Do you spend more time in, okay, let me put it this way, we all probably do. Do you make it more of a priority to watch your favorite TV show than to read the word of God? I mean, honestly, guys, I'm just being honest with you. This is what the Lord's telling us. He says, hey, if we love light, then where should we find ourselves? In the light. And as a matter of fact, back in our text, this is exactly what he says. Go ahead and turn back into our text there, if you would, with me. He says there in 1 John, at the end of verse 7, okay, and I told you we're going to talk more about these verses next week, so we're coming to a close, I promise here, okay? But in verse 7, listen to what he has to say here. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you desire to walk in the light or in the darkness? Where do you find your joy? Where do you find your fulfillment at? Is it in the light or is it in the darkness? And here's the beautiful part about it. When you're in the light, then we have fellowship together, don't we? But darkness, rarely do we have fellowship. And you'll see people, and I've watched it over the years, guys. I mean, I've only been a believer since 1992, and I've watched it happen time and time and time and time and time again. Somebody gets all wrapped up in themselves, in the world, in the darkness. And you know where they don't find themselves at? Here. Matter of fact, oftentimes, I've lost friends. People who I thought were extremely close to me, who I loved dearly. And I taught youth for many years, you guys know that. I've lost young people who I treated just as well or loved just as much to a certain extent as I do my own son. And they've walked away from it. Why? Because they got wrapped up in the deeds of the world and the darkness that the world had to offer. And now they're no longer in fellowship with me. They can't even talk to me. They can't even look at me in the eyes. Because the darkness has so overtaken them. There's a reason why we remain in the light, brothers and sisters, because we fellowship so that we can continue to encourage that light in each other. So we can look each other in the eyes and not be embarrassed. So we can actually say, hey, you know what? I am on the right path here, Lord. Thank you. And when we have a problem, we can go to somebody who, I hate it when we go to the world for counsel. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I hate it when the church goes to the world for counsel. Go to the Word of God first. And if you don't find it there, go talk to a brother and sister, because the Lord says that we have all been tempted in every way point, right? That we all have something that we can identify with those things. I may not have the same exact issue as you. All right? Maybe your issue, I don't know, let's just say your issue is overindulging in alcohol. I used to have that one. But I overindulge in food, hence the macaroons. right? So I can relate to you. I may not have the same exact temptations, but my temptations are just as real as yours, aren't they? And so if I could tell you what's been working for me, then maybe I can help you. Likewise, maybe you're dealing with something I haven't dealt with before. Guys, I had never lost my dad until last year. And you know what? It hurt a lot more than I expected it to. I'm not going to lie. But some of you had been through that and you were able to help me through that. Thank you, by the way. Because you had an experience I hadn't had yet, and so that's why I needed you. Did that make sense? And that's why the Lord has brought us here, and he says, listen, in God, there's no darkness. You're not going to find the evil there. There's nothing but light there. All right, and I don't want to go too far down that road because we're going to talk a lot more about this next week. But and not just that specific thing, but where do you really find your joy? Because the joy, the true joy in this life, like we started with this morning, brothers and sisters, is found in the light. It's not found in darkness. The darkness, the joy that quote-unquote darkness has to offer is very temporal. If you don't believe me, and you guys all know that I used to be an alcoholic and a drug addict in my early days in my life, all right? Eventually, the drugs get numb. You realize that? You have to have more. Okay? And I have met believers who are totally content in the Lord, and it's only because they got from the Lord what they needed from the Lord. Does that make sense? And he continues to give them what they need. They don't have to continue to go down the dark path to find it. They find it in the light, period. So I'm going to close with this, and this is where we're going to be and find ourselves next week. It says there in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 through 7, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness. Now, this is the key here, and we'll expand on this a little bit more next week. If you find yourself only preoccupied, that's what that word walk means, to be preoccupied with. If you find yourself only preoccupied with the things of the world. So, if we say we have fellowship in him and we are preoccupied with this world, preoccupied with the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk, if we're preoccupied with the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That is real joy. That's where we want to find ourselves. We want to be in that light. Wow. I know I went a little bit longer than I expected to go this morning, guys, but here's my encouragement to us this morning. Remember, your God is not darkness at all. And if you find yourself wrapped up and enveloped with and preoccupied with God, you'll find all of a sudden that you're not finding comfort or joy in the darkness, but only in the light.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.